The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with my new BFF, Matt Stone. He started OctoClean, formerly known as Service Pros, with his parents and siblings in Riverside, California. These guys provide commercial cleaning services to hospitals, schools, offices, both with a company-owned store, which we're going to focus on mostly today, and they also have a network of franchise owners, which is all very exciting. Before we jump into kind of any of the coaching part, just in the introduction, I have questions. So, parents and siblings, are you still working with your parents and siblings? Because that's a big ask. Spouses, parents, siblings for 20, 30 years, that you don't get a lot of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, at one time, we had three generations of family in the company. My grandmother ran the accounting department, my parents, and then, you know, my brothers and I. So at this point, really, it's my parents are retired. They do have things to say, as every parent would, and every partner in a business would. But my brother and I still work together and truly enjoy doing that.
With each other or in spite of each other?
It depends on the day. It depends on the day, Mike.
That's one of the very few answers that I don't think is going to be incendiary that I also believe. So that's pretty good. When Matt starts his political career, we'll let you know. We'll have him back on.
Right.
That's a pretty good answer, man. I wasn't trying to be nosy. It's just having worked with so many owners of cleaning companies, it's just brothers and parents. That's a interesting dynamic anyway. And business is tough. You put them together. It's a tall ask.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there came a time, in the 30 years that we've been working together, we've had our fair share of knockdown, drag out fights. And there came a time where it was like, are we going to still like each other? And are we going to still have dinners together? And are we still going to be a family? And it was a group decision, actually, at a dinner that we had, that we no longer talk business unless it's at the office.
Nice.
And so because we found that every dinner, every lunch, every family social gathering was a business conversation, and it turned into an argument, and that's just not the way we wanted to do it. And, we all held each other accountable. And now if there's ever a conversation about business, we, pull somebody aside and we have that conversation. We never have that in the group. And it works.
Boundaries can be a beautiful thing when everyone plays nice. So here's, I guess, and I promise we'll get to the good stuff, so to speak, but it's just such a fascinating story. The question begs, clearly, I'm assuming you and or your brother have kids. So any interest? Are they completely like pass a thousand times pass? Where are we at?
Well, look, when this business started in 1991 and then started really growing in the 90s, I mean, I was coming out of high school. It was a decision with my dad and I that we were going to grow this business and expand it into something that was going to transform the janitorial industry and have people start being treated with dignity and respect in this industry, because frankly, we don't get the credit that we're due, with the exception of COVID. Thank you. In some ways, I know there's been a lot of, death and destruction along with it, but one thing that we have gotten out of that is the respect that I think that we deserve. But when we did decide that, we were going to go through that, it was in partnership with each other. Now that my kids are growing up in the business and frankly, not in poverty, the way that my dad and I kind of started this company, and have the resources and things that they want and need in their lives. I believe that they need to go out on their own and do their own thing. If they, for some reason, find that they can be an asset to the company and they can build it in a way that they would be happy, and I think it would serve the company's goals and values, then I would be interested in interviewing them. But no one's getting the keys to the castle unless they've earned it.
All right. So it sounds like the door is open, but same door everyone else has got to walk through. They don't get a special family door.
No, zero nepotism.
All right. Love it. And again, by the way, God bless. It's your company. Do whatever you want. So there's as much as I respect that answer, you know, a lot of people want to build legacy, and legacy looks different things for different people. But I think the big one on that one is you're clear, right? You know the answer, and hopefully you and your brother are on the same page, because that would suck if your kids had one set of rules and your brother's kids had another set. Now we got a prickly pear.
Yeah, it takes a lot of convincing and AKA brainwashing of conversations that we have together. Like, look, the kids don't just get it. You know, I've seen the destruction of generational businesses being, you know, just being handed down because you happen to have the same last name. And, you know, I think the legacy of a family company is one that continues on beyond the founders, and it doesn't have to be the siblings that are taking it. It just has to be owned by the family. That's, you know, my feeling.
Well, if and when we ever decide to go the Jerry Springer route, we'll do an in-person live one. First we're throwing, we'll get you and your brother and your kids, and we'll have a couple cocktails before, see if we can't get mayhem to ensue.
Mike, we will not disappoint, my friend. We will not disappoint.
Well, I wasn't planning on it, but now that there's a tease, I'm like, well, hold on. We got to make this happen. All right. That said, what's going on in your world that I can be of some use for you today, my friend?
Well, you know, we're blessed that we have had, you know, success in the operation of our business. And along with that, we see a huge opportunity in growing into the Phoenix metro area. Phoenix reminds us a lot of the Inland Empire here in Southern California. You know, back when it was the Energizer Bunny of the economy, until the real estate, you know, went down in 2007. So now we go out into Phoenix. And really what we're struggling with in the Phoenix area is, you know, not necessarily the systems, but it's really getting to know the personality of the region. You know, where are the best people that we can, you know, find to hire? And, you know, how do we attract those people? Is it the same way that we would do it out here? Or, you know, is it old school, you know, guerrilla marketing type of like going to find the good employees, you know, and putting up ads in laundromats and trying to find people? You know, it's taking longer than I would want it to, I guess is the main issue. And I just like to get your thoughts on, you know, how would you approach entering a new market to find the best people? Because that's what it boils down to. You know, the people are the ones cleaning the buildings. They got to do a good job, and I have to find the right folks.
Man, I have lots of thoughts, and I really like that question. So full disclaimer, I'm 47. I've been born and raised in Phoenix, lived there 97% of my life. So I've got lots of thoughts on the specific Phoenix market, but this is a global podcast. We've got many countries that don't know what an Arizona is or a Phoenix is and don't care. So I'll try and give an answer that would be more suitable for going into a new market and not you and I nerd out. We'll nerd out off air on the specifics of Phoenix as opposed to just the concept. So the cool thing is where I would typically go with that question would be something that Matt glossed over, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to, for the audience, kind of highlight it and draw a big red circle around it. The systems and processes are the key. So I'm going to make a reasonable assumption that since Matt, his business says, hey, we've got a set of systems and processes that we're selling to other people to get the same sort of results that we do, we're going to assume that he's not a charlatan and he's got good. And for 30 years, it'd be pretty hard to be a charlatan, you know, it'd be pretty good to, you know, so we're just going to assume he's a real business with great systems, a great process. So I don't want anyone to go, oh, the things that Mike said, I'm going to focus on that without building the foundation of systems and processes. So everything after this, the end of this sentence is presupposing we have systems and processes that are proven in another market that are repeatable, scalable, and dependable. If you have that, this conversation is going to be helpful. If you don't have that, you can listen, but it would be for entertainment value only. Please don't go, oh, screw systems and processes. We just need to get to step three. You know, let's put up some drywall before our foundation, because obviously that's disastrous. Okay. Fair warning given. That said, one of the big encouragements I would get, and we've got lots of clients that have done exactly this. They wanted to move and they either left their business where it was, started a new business in a new place, and had the other business. But we have several clients that either because they live in multiple locations and are away from their business a lot of time, or for whatever lifestyle choices, typically, sometimes it's, I just want to grow my company, but more often it's
the place I live and do business, they don't have to, I don't want them necessarily to have to be the same. So the, I don't want to say the biggest mistake, but the biggest thing that slows people down generally is it, as well as it relates to this question specifically, is some version of, but you don't understand my business is different, but you don't understand my market is different, but you don't understand people where I'm at don't want to work, don't, you know, are cheap, want the lowest prices, blah, 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 blah. Which the good news is if, and when you colonize Mars and put up something there, we deal with Martians. I have no idea how to, I have nothing. I got nothing, yeah. But as long as it's on the face of the earth and we're dealing with other humans, we're going to find most of the high level stuff works, and how we execute and some of the specifics are going to vary, but far less than we think. So first I would give you encouragement, permission, whatever that word looks like to hit you of, you know, we know what we're doing. These systems and processes work in Riverside. We deal with human beings there, and we're going to deal with human beings here. And might the details of execution, we'll find a little tweak here and a little tweak there. Of course, obviously let's have some common sense, but as it relates to human beings, especially on the hiring side, you'll find, I think one of my favorite parables is the guy at the crossroads, kind of a, you know, there's two cities behind him, and the first man approaches and says, oh, I'm going to the city on the right. Or I'm going to the city behind you. What are the people like there? And he said, well, where are you coming from? Oh, this city, how are the people there? Oh, they were terrible. Liars, cheaters, thieves, couldn't be a worse bunch of folk. And the guy at the crossroads said, you know, God, I wish I could tell you better, but same group of folks that you're going to run into at the next place. And then as you might kind of be unwrapping in your mind, the second guy comes with the same question. And the guy at the crossroads gives the same question and response. What were the folks like you came? Oh my gosh, the people I came from were just amazing. Kindest people, lovingest people. Couldn't ask for better folks. He said, good news. And he's going to the same location. Good news. These people are the best. They're kind. They're amazing. So you'll find, you know, I'm sure, well, maybe you've got more or less Hispanics in Riverside, more people that speak Spanish or not. Obviously, I think I've been to Riverside and been to Phoenix. There's probably similar, but let's say it was yeah, very different. Older people, younger people, all that sort of stuff. And I'll get into some details of how we might thin slice this or test it, but I want to give you and the listeners encouragement that things that work with humans in Riverside shall work with humans in Phoenix, shall work with humans in every province of Canada, the 27 countries we've worked in, all 50 states of the United States. I've never found a country or a state or a province under lockdown or not. There's successful people and there's unsuccessful people. With people that don't want to work, in huge air quotes, they're successful. You know, they'll be literally saying, is there a McDonald's in the area? Oh yeah, one, you know, 2 minutes away. What do you think they pay? $13 an hour. How many people, if you walked in there right now, how many $13 an hour employees? 27. Okay, so we've established the fact that there is no such thing as, you know, well, in Phoenix, people don't want to work, but in Riverside, they do. Like, that's just not the case. And it might be based on the laws of the land and who it attracts that maybe the workforce is X amount in Riverside and X plus or minus amount in Phoenix. So again, that would be the subtlety, but to just say no one wants to work or everyone wants to work is foolish. So once we kind of have the foundation of north of 80% of our systems and processes are going to be equally effective, it gets down to the great Mesa versus, and I don't want to bore you guys with local geography, but this city versus that city, suburb or urban. You know, I know where the, you know, I'm sure you know where the businesses are, and that's going to be pretty similar. So, and you said, hey, I'm really more into the hiring than I am the client attraction. I'm assuming the client attraction you're finding to be a little more intuitive.
Yes. And on the client side, I mean, I always tell my operations team, I'm like, sales is the easiest thing we do. You know, execution is always the hardest thing that we'll do. And, because it boils down to good communication, good people, accountability, and all of those things. So we don't have a problem with that. I think that, you know, as you're talking, Mike, what I'm starting to be aware of is how caught up I am in the overanalyzing the basic details, right?
Not the first time, not the last time for neither myself nor my new friend here.
Yeah. So, you know, it's looking at, you know, the hourly minimum wage in California is X, and in, you know, Phoenix, it's Y. You know, cost of living is this in Southern California versus the, and so looking at how do we attract people, but ultimately the pricing that we give to customers is going to be the same in Phoenix as it is in Inland Empire. And it, you know, it does adjust a little bit here and there, depending on minimum wage and expenses. But as long as there's a profit there, then we can afford to pay an employee $16.50 an hour in Phoenix, even though minimum wage is significantly less than that in that area. And so I think we're just kind of beating ourselves up, trying to find a way to pay, to find that right wage, when really what I want is just to attract the right people.
Yeah. And that's probably the drum I beat most often when it comes to, and I'm glad that you said that, because we have obviously folks just starting and up to tens of millions of dollars of revenue in our client base and our audience. So I like hearing someone that's been in the business for 30 years and had a lot of success. So when you can kind of have, I don't say a blind spot, but an opportunity for growth, newer guys can go, okay, well, good. The jerk with a microphone, I wish I could say, hey guys, call me. I have every answer to every question and I never make a mistake and I'm a genius. Like I'll get my wife on to tell you that we're 0 for 5 on any of those. So all that to say, let me give an encouragement if I may. I hate to say mistake, that sounds pejorative. The biggest missed opportunity I see top to bottom, low, I have 2 employees, I have 200 employees, is overemphasis on pay. So I'm looking at that more as a box checked than a, like what you were kind of trying to get scientific's too strong, but you were kind of like, there, you know, what's the wage and what's the band and this is too much and this is too little. Certainly $27 an hour is not going to float in any market I'm aware of in the United States. And certainly in Phoenix or Riverside, $9.50 is not going to float. I don't even know the minimum wage, but assuming that was a legal wage, that's not going to float. So is it $12 or is it $14? Really drilling that down, I don't know, is it a big deal? So the two things I would focus on that I think are more effective, and as you do it, you'll get the answer of the, well, it's $13.50 is the number, if there were such a thing, as opposed to $13.25 or $13.75. The two things I would focus on first and foremost, and it sounds like you're already doing this, so I'm going to encourage you, you're probably doing the important thing right and focusing, I don't want to say on the wrong thing, but the far less important thing is culture. No offense, but if I'm making $12 an hour, typically for janitorial, this isn't a full-time career. I've got a I don't say a real job, but maybe a highly compensated job in the day. This is for, I want a nicer Christmas for my kids. I want to be able to take my family back home and see them, these sorts of things. And if I'm working 26 and a half hours or whatever the case may be, and the different $2 an hour is $50 a week after taxes, we're talking $38.50. It literally means nothing. I shouldn't say literally, but it's so small, it's close to nothing. Yeah. What I'm really looking for is, do I have a place to belong? Am I appreciated for what I do? Do the people that I'm working with share my values? And most of the people that are going to want to work for us aren't going to be able to articulate these questions clearly, but we can do it for them. And that their heart is going to show up to the interview going, is this a place I've worked at places where they don't learn my name for the first 3 months. And even then, you know, they get it right half the time. Or am I a human being where I'm cared about? And if we can really make that sing, if we're off even a buck, which I think again, when we're talking about a small band, right? You just, anyone common sense will go, well, what's the minimum wage? I'll go look at for 7 seconds on 27 seconds on Indeed. I'll get the band is going to be, I'm just making it up for Phoenix. I have no idea. Even though I'm in Phoenix, I'm that out of and I coach in this business. It's that little of importance to me. Can't imagine less than $12-13 is going to get it done. And I can't imagine a universe where 15-16 to start is, at all required. So we'll just call it $14 an hour. Right. And that's with zero data, zero nothing. I'm sure you've like, I've done a bunch of research.
we could geek out on that, but I won't.
Yeah. So if we call it $14, fair, maybe it should be 13, maybe it should be 15. If you do a good job making people, attracting people to share your values, right? Because it's not trying to beat people into your mold. It's being so loud with who you are. For us, it's have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And all of our people are super into that. And they could all probably go make 10, 20, 30% more if money was their ultimate. And we pay better than average, right? I'm not saying we're screwing them. I'm just saying there's other things. So that's the first place I would focus. And then the cool thing is, when I say the first place, I mean culture, not the $14 an hour. But I'm just saying, with virtually no education, I'll bet you without $14, you could pay for research. You could spend months trying to figure it out, and you're going to come within a buck of $14 an hour.
Yeah,
just off the top of your head. The flip side is, well, what about the money? Same thing. If I'm selling, I'm never, you know, if you're not the cheapest in town, second cheapest is nothing worth it. Might as well be the most expensive. So I'm just going to sell based off of cost of goods sold. And if at $14 an hour, my cost of goods sold fully loaded is $16.50, I'm just going to make sure that's a 50% cost of goods sold. And guess what? If I'm selling the right customers and I understand they're paying, I'm communicating with them, and I'm $28.50 a month for an account, and because some other guy is paying $12.80 an hour and he's closer to nine, he's what did I just say? 2850. He's 26, 25 a month. And they go with him. It's not because of the dollar. It's because I've done a terrible job selling. So I guess the big thing is just give you an encouragement of, you know, your systems and processes. I think you're 98% of the way there, and your fear is you think you're 80% of the way there. So you keep kind of beating the same drum, trying to get the 18% that you've already achieved.
Right. And I think it is the churn, right? I mean, it's something that I'm proud of is our culture and how we treat our people and you know, how they treat each other. You know, here in Southern California, that's something that we're very, very proud of, and we nurture. And so it really is just finding, you know, that first handful of, you know, locker room guys, right, that is going to be good for the group, that are going to keep things together, that are going to believe in the vision and mission of the organization, that are going to be able to speak to people who are naysayers that they work alongside. And say, well, no, this is really what it is, and not just commiserate, you know, and say, yeah, you know, these guys are full of it, and you know, they're not even from our area. So those are the kind of things that I think, you know, they don't keep me up at night, but those are the things that I'm aware of. That, you know, when we find those people, we're finding those good people. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'll give you and Clean Nation two quick things, then we'll wrap. One, I love the example of Phoenix, because it is probably a more difficult, like Riverside would be difficult, because it's not Riverside, it's the Inland Empire. Like, there's so many contiguous cities that are just, you don't know when you move from Riverside to, I used to know Southern California, the next city. You don't know when you move from Phoenix to Surprise to, there might be a sign that you miss, but it feels exactly the same. No one's like, I'm a Phoenix boy, not Tempe. Like, nobody gives a crap. So it can feel overwhelming when I haven't looked at a map, but I'm guessing easily 12, maybe 15 cities. You know, there's a queen. There's just a ton of them. So I like the example because it's harder. The good news is we do the same thing with niche. When we get people coming into our program, one of the things that we emphasize is niche. And I love that on your introduction, you know, it wasn't just like we do commercial cleaning. It's like we do hospitals, and you had two or three things that you're very specific of. So one of the things we do is niche, and the biggest problem people run into is they want the perfect niche, and we're constantly trying to reorient them away from quote unquote the perfect niche, which doesn't exist. You're picking your poison, right? This one's got these pluses and this minuses, and this one's got different pluses and different minuses, and I choose these pluses and minuses. So we move them away from the perfect niche fallacy towards the meets all my boxes fallacy, and then pick the one you like. So whether it be Phoenix or Queen Creek or Apache Junction or blah, 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 on and on, we can nerd out with all the local geography. I'm looking for the minimum standard of, does it meet all my minimum standards? So like with customers, it's going to be, do they have pain? I care about pain more than anything else. Budget really doesn't make a big difference. On residential, certainly I'm not going to, no offense, my trailer park friends, but typically they're not going to invest a bunch of money to clean their homes. But if you've got a million, I can't think of a less than a million dollar building, or a multi-million dollar building, or a multi $10 million building, you're not going to, you've got $2,600 a month to clean it. So budget's not typically it. It's always pain. It's just, is there enough of them? And everyone's like, well, which is better, car dealerships or golf courses, hospitals or, you know, strip malls, blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, do they meet the three? And then pick the one you like. So I kind of go the same way with employees in terms of Mesa or Surprise. I just picked the two kind of very far away geographically. Good news is with the systems and processes and culture, they all work, right? They're all populated enough. I'm not going to pick somewhere way out in the outskirts with no population where I'm going to have to struggle. So as long as they meet the minimum requirements, I would move away from getting quote unquote the perfect market for either customers or employees, and move into, do they meet my minimum boxes, and then go where the frick you like. If you're like, I just prefer Mesa over Chandler, then God bless, let's do Mesa. All right. Questions, comments, Drew, to Marks before we wrap it.
No. I think that was some really great insights there. And, you know, I think, you know, I've never been somebody who shied away from, you know, mentorship and training from others. I think a lot of people that are in business tend to do that because they think that they're going to, you know, see or, you know, be seen as less than. So I've really enjoyed this interaction because of that, because I think I need that, like you said, encouragement to be like, hey, it's okay. You know what you're doing. Let's just go in and make a choice, you know, just decide where it's going to be and go. And the rest of it will fall in. I really just want to thank you for recognizing what I think my inside voice that I tend to shut up a lot, has been yelling at me. So, you know, that's been good. So thank you.
A, my pleasure. B, it's funny, the paradox that most successful people, resonate with what Matt said. Like, yeah, I need coaching. And the thing that drives me nuts is the people that desperately need the coaching are struggling. They think they got it all together. I'm making $3,200 American dollars a month, and I'm just working 73 hours a week. What could be better? And the guys, you know, I don't know Matt's situation, but I'm guessing he'd probably do okay if he missed a paycheck. And he's the guy first in line going, yeah, let's get better. Let's get better. And it's the paradox as a coach drives me up a freaking wall. That said, any of this parts that would be, you know, pro what you were thinking and anti your brother, please feel free to take, you know, just specific clips and, you know, shove them down his throat. Cause if we can't use podcast appearances to make ourselves right, why even appear, for crying out loud?
Right.
Cleaning Nation, if that was helpful, we'd love to have you part of our community. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. There's a free on-demand masterclass. That's a great place to start. Over 700 podcasts, blogs, videos, 15,000 member Facebook group. I don't even think we have anything for sale just there. So if you want help, you want more of this, GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.